Waddle and Sylvie, after 2 to 6 on ESPN Chicago.
I don't believe in, like, issuing big decrees from on high. You know, we need to do this if we want to do that. I mean, like, we've already gone out and gotten Kimbrel. If you looked at, you know, where we were when we swept St. Louis, June 9th or 10th or something like that, we had just signed Kimbrel. We had just swept St. Louis. We just played some really good baseball. Kind of thought we were going to take off. Felt like the team deserved that. We found a way to make it work. Since then, we haven't played really well, but we're not going to be punitive. We're trying to win, so we're going to see where we are. We're going to see what the trade landscape looks like, and we're going to do everything that we can to win now and also in the future. So we're not going to be short sighted or foolish about it either.
I gave you this factoid with regard to the Cubs as we were done with our pre show fist fight, sitting in our luxurious office. But for those people out there that weren't participating in said conversation, do you know Jeff Mellor and Adam Abdallah? When was the last time the Cubs had won a series, rather, against a team with a winning record?
With a winning record?
Correct. Now, listen, they haven't played a team with a winning record since the All-Star break. They played the Pirates, the Reds, and the San Diego Padres.
And the last time they'd won a series before that was the beginning of June against the Cardinals. And yep. I don't believe that they were...
I was going to say, I thought the Cardinals did have a winning record. Okay, that's what I was going to say. Right.
No, I'm saying now. A team that has a winning record now. The Cardinals have a winning record now,
Okay.
Gotcha. Yeah.
But it's been since that series...
The first week of June, right? June 6th through 9th?
That was June 7th, 8th, and 9th.
7th or 9th?
The last time they won a series against a team that had a winning record. They played 4 against the Atlanta Braves late in June, but they split that series. So, not only have they struggled to play well on the road, they've struggled recently against even like the more accomplished teams.
Yeah, it's just shocking to look at their record recently on the road. Their overall road record stinks. But recently, did you see what they've been in their last 23 road games?
I did not.
17 or 6-17. They have lost 17 of 23.
How do you explain that? I mean, listen, I get it. It's harder to travel and play on the road than it is the comforts of your own building. But to be 36-18 at home and 18-28 on the road, I don't know that there's a simple explanation.
Explaining the 2019 Cubs is like, was it an old fairy tale about the leak in the dam or the leak in the and you put a finger in and then another one would. You'd have to put another finger in, and like they're just once you get
don't mess with Texas.
Once you get one area fixed with this Cubs team, we've been saying it all year. One minute the starting pitching is good, and then the back end of the bullpen is bad, and they don't have a closer for the first 2 months, mm-hmm. 3 months of the season, and then not only do you not have a closer, then Pedro Strop goes down a couple of times. You know, then you keep blowing saves, and then you bring Kimbrel to town. Now Strop goes bad, and then. There's parts of the season where you can't score runners in scoring position. And then you had that little funk when John Lester was bad and Hendricks was bad. And the starting pitching could not be counted on. Yu Darvish took a turn early in the year. He was not so good. And
the better teams have a tendency and a knack for picking each other up.
Wait a minute, though. I'm looking through the schedule. There's a bit of a flaw because they haven't had a whole lot of opportunities in the way you laid it out.
That's true.
I think only the Braves and Dodgers during that time span that you laid out are teams that are above 500.
That is correct. And I said that. I said they haven't played a lot of the better teams. But, I mean, what did you say, Adam? They hadn't won a series, regardless of the accomplishments of the opponent, since when?
That June 7th or 8th or 9th.
Prior to the
All-Star break, yeah.
So, I mean, look, it's... The overall record has them in first place. The eye test in some of the more particular, you know, you look a little bit more into this, and it doesn't feel great.
No, especially when you're staying up late, and then Pedro Strop is being counted on in the 8th inning again. And that's got to change. Let's bring in Jesse Rogers. By the way, Would You Rather coming up in 25 minutes. Get your entries in right now, your last chance to get in. You can email us, Waddle and Sylvie at ESPN.com, or tweet me at Waddle and Sylvie, tweet Waddle at TWaddle87. Use the hashtag WS, Would You Rather. Best ones we'll read at 4:30, and then the winner will get a gift card to Grand and Western Liquors. Jesse Rogers is brought to you by our great friends at Dutch and Doc's. Someone tweeted me last night saying, hey, Sylvie, took you up on your recommendation. They brought the kids there the win on Sunday. Or did they lose Sunday? Whatever.
They lost
Sunday. One of the games that they had won, took the kids there afterwards. They had a great experience at Dutch and Doc's. They had a great table right along the window there.
It's a nice place for sure.
It's right across the street from Wrigley Field, Clark and Addison. Dutch and Doc's from the Boca Restaurant Group, who were just named Restaurateurs of the Year nationally. All right, Jesse, I've got roster moves. We were tweeting about this last night. I believe Descalso is worthless at this point, and Chatwood, as you have pointed out, he hasn't pitched in 8 days, or more towards 10 days now. When you look at those two guys on a roster that already has holes in it, you only have 23 guys that you're counting on. And when some of those 23 already have flaws, Addison Russell, Albert Elmora, now right now with Pedro Strop, you're limiting all the possibilities of good play. So to me, you have to either DFA Descalso or put him on the injured list with a fake injury and do something here with Chatwood, because you're just hurting yourself in the big picture.
Yeah, and I think some of that is coming. I mean, D-Day is coming for all this stuff because next Wednesday is the deadline, right? You have a catcher returning from injury tomorrow. You already have another catcher you just traded for. So there's going to be a lot of movement over the next 9 or 10 days. I don't think you're wrong. Descalso will be part of it, there's no doubt. Whether that is a DFA or an injury, I think the simplest thing is an injury. Send him down to rehab, get a bunch of at-bats in the minors, come up September 1st. And then you have him in the clubhouse, the dugout, as a veteran leader. Maybe you get a few hits out of him later. I think that's the easy answer. You could also DFA him. That's also an easy answer, I guess, for a lot of Cub fans. So I think you're right. The Chatwood thing I have to ask Joe today. I just didn't get around to it yesterday. First game of the series, a lot going on. I had to pull him aside about that Russell stuff. Chatwood's wondering what's going on. I mean, he's healthy. I made sure of that yesterday. He's pitched 2 innings since June 27th. And say what you want, it has been a resurgent year. He does, you know, arguably have some of the best stuff on the staff. You'd think he'd be used somewhere along the line with a bullpen that's pretty shaky. And frankly, they've had an opening in the starting staff. Mills has been okay. I like the movement. But, you know, Chatwood's been pushed aside. I mean, he should have been pushed aside last year. This year, they should probably try to use him a little bit more, at least see what you got there. And they haven't done that over the last month. And now the next time you use Chatwood, he's able to not, I mean, we're able to say for him, well, he might be rusty, right? He might not have his command. He hasn't pitched much. So that's a whole other issue I got to ask Joe about today. But you're not wrong. This team isn't as deep, and they're just not utilizing the full roster, and it's coming back to haunt them. Real quick, though, I mean, last night was just devastating. They played a good game. I love that add-on run in the eighth when Bryant stole second. It's just his second stolen base of the season. He scores on the Rizzo double, but it all falls apart when Strope gives it up. I mean, that was a good game, except for one player, but one player can make the difference.
Well, what is the general consensus on what's wrong with Strope, and what are they going to do with him?
Yeah, I mean, the consensus is his fastball, and that's obvious by that Slater. I mean, he crushed that ball. His fastball is down a mile and a half from last year, and sometimes that doesn't sound like a lot, but it really is. When you're at 95, 95 and a half, and you come down to 93, 93 and a half, that looks and feels different. I mean, Slater just crushed that ball. So he's relying on his slider more and more, and teams are aware of that. It's still a decent slider, but it's not missing bats. None of it is missing enough bats. And certainly the fastball is either very hittable or he can't command it and he'll walk a guy or whatnot. So the problem is with his fastball. I think last night was kind of the last straw in terms of that eighth inning roll. I don't blame Joe for going to him. Before that, since the break, he had had four appearances. He had given up one run, a home run. Four straight appearances. Now, again, one run in the eighth inning can be a big deal, so I'm not saying
it's perfect. Yeah, that tied the game. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it tied the game. So I don't blame him for giving him another chance. He had a clean outing before last night. But now you can't go one good, one bad, one good, one bad. He's had 3 out of 6 outings since the break where he's given up runs. That can't happen. So I do think there'll be a change. It'll be kind of subtle, whatever. He'll give him the 7th, maybe when they're down a run or something. You know, give him a minus situation. But I think there'll be a change. You know, there's just not that many arms, though, if you keep right. moving guys out. Edwards is out. You know, Strope may be out of that role. You're down to Kinsler, Cishek, and Kimbrel from the right side in terms of trust. And Kyle Ryan is the lone lefty. By default, he gets some trust, and he pitched well last night. So there are issues there, and you know, we could talk about the trade deadline, but that's what's going to happen with Strope. He's going to be given, I think, a little bit of a lesser role to figure it out, not banished like Carl Edwards at this point.
Why doesn't Joe put Kinsler in that role? Why? And you've pointed it out before, Jess. Yeah, I know, because you love the guy. You've been on him from the start, saying he's going to get reworked. The Cubs didn't want him back. He exercised the option. I was a huge skeptic, Jesse. Last year when they got him, he was worthless. And then sure enough, he just continued to build his performances. And not only has he had great performances, he's been a heady player. He made that play at second base the other day. And it's just time to give him a little bit more rope in a big situation, because like you said, two guys that they're expecting to set up, one guy's in the minors and CJ, and the other guy's Strope, who they're going to have to use in a different situation.
Well, if Madden doesn't do it now, I don't know what he's looking at. I mean, if you pull up Kinsler's numbers across the board, lefties, righties, double play balls, inherited runners, they jump off the page, especially in a year where bullpens all over the place are giving up runs and, you know, there's shaky performances all over. If it doesn't happen now, I don't know when it's going to happen, because, again, he's down to a couple arms plus Kimbrel that he can trust. So Kinsler's got to be given that chance in the 8th or the 7th, and on a consistent basis, use him more, 3 out of 4, whatever it takes to get the job done. And this is why I also think the Cubs are really blanketing the market. I mean, it's a wide net. I don't have all the names for you. I'm sure they're going to trade for a few names that no one's going to hear until the moment they trade for them. Theo and Jed are pretty good about that. Because think about it. They could use a front-end righty, a back-end righty, a front-end lefty, a back-end lefty, a front-end bat, meaning like a top-of-the-order bat, and then, of course, they could use a bench bat when you consider Descalso and some of the struggles Bodie's had. So it's front-line players. It's depth players. It's just how many of your assets are you going to give up in a season where the Dodgers look like world beaters and all that. I say you ignore that, because anybody can be upset in October, and you just fill as many holes as you can within reason. You can't give up all your prospects, but let's face it, they have a bunch of needs, and that's why I think there's a wide net out there, and you'll see some names that no one will talk about or hear about, and they'll be on the Cubs in the next 10 days.
Jess, do you believe that there's anyone currently on their roster that will be used in a deal to bring somebody in, or you're talking just prospects?
Well, when you say used in a deal, I think it's going back in a deal. Like, Almora is not the centerpiece of any deal, but if they trade for a center fielder, he goes back in a deal, something
right.
like that. But in terms of a trade chip, that would have to come from your starting staff. Or, you know, obviously a nucleus core player like Bryant. That I don't think that's happening. I don't think they're going to trade Schwarber. I guess that would be the one other person. I don't think that's going to happen. I think as soon as you trade Schwarber, it's a little bit of a hole. I mean, unless they just prioritize a leadoff man so much, and you throw in Schwarber and a prospect, and you get the job done. But I just feel like, you know, most contenders don't subtract core guys from their team. And this year, right now, Schwarber's kind of a core guy, leading off as much as he is and the 21 home runs. So I don't think anyone's going to be used as that centerpiece, Tommy, but you know, send back Russell, send back Elmore, something like that is possible.
You know, it's interesting. We've noticed this a lot, and we're all fans of Kyle's. I mean, Kyle's a good guy. We are, you know, maybe overestimated where he'd be at this point sure. in his career, but last night was another example of a typical Kyle game, wasn't it? 1 for 5 with a bomb, and it was a bomb, but that was all you got from him. You were 1 for 5 and really nothing more. I guess in some ways, you can live with that. In other ways, it's still a reminder that you're not getting as much as you thought you were going to get.
You're so right, Tommy. Such a hard hitter to figure out. We thought we figured him out coming up. Great eye, massive power, but it's just this weird, you know, thing with him. I can't figure it out either. I've been up and down on him. like everyone else. But there is value. I think we all agree there is value there. It's just not what it was. And like I've said before, the value isn't even that great as a trade chip. He's getting deeper into arbitration. And what's the one thing he does? He hits home runs. Well, Daniel Vogelbach made the All-Star team because he hits home runs. So, I mean, the skill set isn't as valuable as it once was, because 30 home runs isn't as valuable. I mean, Wilbur Garcia is hitting 450-foot home runs. 48 balls into the bay this year. That's just crazy. It used to be hard to hit into the bay. So the home run just is devalued right now, and that's Schwarber's strength.
I always thought that Schwarber would give you one for four with one of those at-bats as a walk.
Yeah.
And then he's on base two out of five times,
right.
Which is close. You know, that's a 400 on-base percentage.
Right.
And then now you're looking at something, and if he hits 225 or 240 or 245, but he's got a 380 on base, you live with that. But the Schwarber eye has been letting me down, and that's the thing. There's been too many swings and misses on pitches that should be ball four, and he's just not getting on base like I thought Kyle Schwarber would get on base.
Especially up in his eyes. I'm shocked at how much he swings at balls up in his eyes. I know it's difficult, and I know a lot of pitchers work up there, but he's supposed to have that keen eye. He's the one. I get it when David Bodie swings up there. He wasn't a prospect. You know, he was a self-made prospect. Here's Kyle Schwarber, who came in the league with that great eye, and he's swinging it ball four off. And you are exactly right, Sylvie.
All right, you pointed out yesterday to us about Russell that the worth here is as a backup shortstop. You talked to him after you were on the air with us, and he even surprised you with some of his quotes about missing signs and. I just don't understand what's going on here. They've given this guy a lot of rope off the field and on. How much is too much?
Yeah, that's a great question. I don't doubt that they would love to move on. I mean, I just, you know, you have winning players and you have losing players, and the mental mistakes are just piling up. Maybe it's too much to fix your personal life and your personal situation, as well as play a game at a high level, a mental game at such a high level. And he wasn't the best player before all this happened in terms of the mental part of the game. He didn't have the same instincts as Baez. So I don't doubt it, and I think, you know, who knows if it's going to happen now or in the off season, but it does feel like they can't just rely on Addison Russell as their best second baseman and best backup shortstop. They've got to find some other answers. I mean, I'm shocked at what he said. He needs to get familiar with the signs. It's almost August in his fifth year with the organization with the same manager. Now, granted, it's different third base coaches. But familiar with the signs, not knowing when to run. I mean, I like the accountability, at least admitted all this stuff. You have to identify the problem before you can fix it. But where's the solution? And I think Joe is throwing up his arms a little bit and just be like, at this point, we've talked to him. We've told him to focus. And now he hasn't started the last 2 days. Maybe he moves into this purely defensive role late in the game, because, you know, it's go time. And I think they proved that by sending Edwards down after one outing. I mean, Joe's got, I keep saying it, this is not the 16 Cubs. It is go time. You got to ride your horses and pray they have something left in October. This is not going to be a perfect situation. You don't have the juggernaut you used to have. So maybe that's just Russell's role late in the game. We'll see. He hasn't started the last 2 days.
Darvish outings quickly have become must-see television. Tonight he squares off with Bumgarner. What are you expecting from the Cubs starter?
Well, Carmen mentioned to me that the Cubs are the favorite in this game. Think about that. It's Madison Bumgarner, just even his reputation. And lately he's been pitching great, but obviously people see what Darvish is doing. He's missing bats. I think it's going to be a great matchup. I think Darvish, I can't believe I'm saying that, has actually risen to the occasion at times coming out of the second half when the team is struggling a little bit. He's come up with big performances. I don't see why it wouldn't carry over. It's a huge ballpark. He hasn't been walking guys. So that whole idea, let him hit it, you know, get your good defense out there. I think it's going to be a tight game, like, you know, pretty much like yesterday. So let's see how long he can go, and maybe they can limit the use. Kinsler definitely available tonight. Kimbrough available. Neither pitched yesterday. So if he goes seven, I think we know who could pitch in the eighth and ninth inning. And, of course, C-Sheck may be available as well.
All right, Jesse, anything else?
Cole Hamels tonight, your guy, Tom.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Big rehab start, because if that goes well, they can send Mills down maybe as soon as tomorrow when Wilson Contreras is activated. They have a couple off days to work with, and maybe he's back for his next turn. We won't know until after tonight. You know, you got to see how it feels and all that. might need a second rehab start, but at least that's moving in the right direction. So that's for Triple A tonight, 35 to 50 pitches for Cole Hamels, and then again the decision tomorrow when they activate Wilson Contreras. My guess is to buy time, they send down Mills, and then they deal with that fifth starter when they need to.
This may be a blessing in disguise for Cole Hamels in terms of, obviously, you want the injury to heal, but maybe to get a little extra rest for a pitcher who's a little bit up in age. I mean, maybe he comes back in the second half with a little extra gas in the tank, Jess.
Madden talks often about it, especially pitchers. If it's not an arm injury, that's the silver lining to having an injury, especially an older guy. You're right. Now, the difference is if he was there, you might have a six-game lead in the division. But you didn't lose the lead with him out, and now he can come back fresh. And that's where Kimbrel is. I'm going to interview Kimbrel today. I mean, he is starting to round into form, and I think Joe probably should lean on him. I know they have him for two more years, but this guy's pitched, you know, a few games this season. His arm should be fresh. So there are some guys to lean on: Kinsler, Kimbrel, Hamels. These guys that haven't maybe pitched as much as Cub fans would have liked, but we'll see.
All right, Jesse, great stuff. Thank you.
Thanks, Jess.
Okay, guys, take care. Talk to you tomorrow.
Jesse Rogers is in San Francisco. Cubs play tonight. You know what I like? I like they just tweaked their starting time, I think, by about a 20 minutes or a half hour. The game starts at 8:45 now. Len explained that San Francisco thought that the ballpark played more offensive-friendly earlier there. Before the sun goes down. So that's a local 6:45 start instead of a 7:10 or 7:15 start. So it makes a big difference, too. I mean, you know, when you're every minute you want to get to sleep and.
Oh, you mean from your perspective?
Yes, yeah. From a watcher's perspective, isn't it? I mean, it seemed like more than just an average of 20 or 30 minutes to me. I liked it. I liked that they started 8:45.
I agree. Where the older we get, the earlier we want the game to be over.
Well, let's be honest. Like, if you're staying up for West Coast baseball, it's those seventh, eighth, and ninth innings when your eyes are kind of starting to fall asleep on you that you're like, oh, wrap it up. And you said, 30 minutes, that could be the difference between when you normally would go to bed
and then staying up
and
for
fighting through it, you know?
Staying up and seeing another disappointing loss.
Watching Pedro Strop blow a game.
Yep. Hey, my guy, Javi with his swag. You know what he drives, Waddle? He drives
a
Toyota. Jesse Rogers, who we just talked to. He drives a Toyota.
They're one and the same, Jesse and Javi. Same character, same talent, same everything.
I joined the Cool Kids Club. I'm now driving the brand new 2019 RAV4 Hybrid. The gas mileage is off the charts. I've never seen anything like it. It's 36 miles per gallon. It's a sporty SUV. The RAV4, by the way, for 2019 has been totally redesigned. It's much roomier than you would expect, much sportier than you expect, and I'm telling you, the bells
sporty and roomy, huh?
Sporty and roomy, and the bells and whistles on the inside, technology. I can go. It's actually got the sport mode. I could put it in sport mode. I could then
that when you're feeling saucy, you hit sport mode.
When I'm down there on LaSalle and I've got to beat someone off the line because I've got to make the bridge because the lights are timed, and you got to make these lights.
Be careful because the lanes are more narrow now because they're doing some construction.
You don't want to be behind the bus.
No, I know. I just don't want you to be going too fast in sport mode.
No, before I get into that, I put it in sport mode. Want to save miles on the way home? I put it in eco mode. That's what I do, Waddle. It's got every bell and whistle can imagine. I love the sunroof for a perfect day like today. Check out the brand new RAV4 Toyota.com or do what I did. Check them out at your local Toyota dealer, your Chicagoland Toyota dealer. Toyota, let's go places. We'll go to Would You Rather coming up next. Last chance for your entries. It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Hey, this is Coach Mike Ditka.
Greg Olson here.
This is Stacey King.
Hey, this is D. Rose.
What up? This is Ludacris.
Hello, this is Dick Enberg. Would you like to play a little Would You Rather? Oh, my.
That's right. Would You Rather each and every Tuesday at 4:30. It's all brought to you by my friends at Grand and Western Liquors.
Grand and Western.
Right there at the corner of?
You already said it.
Grand and Western, right in the heart of Chicago. Number one in beer, and they pass the savings along to you, but they have everything. And I do mean everything. Danny Passaglia will help you pick out the perfect spirit or wine for any occasion.
We got spirit. Yes, we do. We got spirit. How about you?
We've got more. We've got more. And they have more at Grand and Western Liquors and more savings for the Waddle and Sylvie fan. So tell them Waddle and Sylvie sent you. All right, you ask the question, either this or that. Say, would you rather question. And we'll come up with answers. Make them fun. Make them creative. Make us think. And we'll name one winner. And that winner will get the $50 gift card to Grand and Western Liquors.
What ridiculousness do we have today?
Hey, guys. All right. Well, do you want to start with the ridiculous one or do you want to start with a real one?
Whichever you want.
I figured all
they're all was real. Ridiculous. They're all real. So here's one that's real, I guess. Chris O'Neill wants to know, would you rather have a healthy, productive Ben Zobrist or a healthy, productive Brandon Morrow for the rest of the season?
I would say, really?
Yes.
I would say Ben Zobrist. I think you need a guy that you can count on to lead off consistently.
No, the caveat, healthy, productive, Morrow is exactly what they're looking for.
Yeah, if an eighth-inning shutdown guy. That's what the Dodgers had when they beat the Cubs. They had
maybe
Kinsler's
that guy.
Jensen.
Maybe Kinsler's that guy. Maybe he's already on your roster. Do you have a leadoff guy?
You can't have too many bullpen arms.
You don't have a leadoff guy.
You don't, but still, I mean, is Ben Zobrist the perfect leadoff guy?
He was last year.
Compared to this, what this team has, I still think.
Don't give me salt if you don't believe in salt.
The bullpen is vital in the playoffs. Vital. We know it's a 5 or 6 inning game for the starters. You need to bridge 3 or 4 innings. So I would go. I'm surprised by that.
What, really? A guy that goes to the plate 4 times a game and leads off for you versus a guy that
gets 3 outs in the 8th inning?
Maybe not.
A 1-run game?
I got other guys I can possibly go to. He's healthy. Doesn't mean he's going to be. What was the disclaimer?
He was just healthy.
Productive and healthy, yeah. Right. They're healthy and they're good.
I'll take a leadoff hitter. Thank you.
It's more realistic for me to believe that Ben Zobrist can be that guy than Morrow. Because Zobrist is missing because of a personal issue. And if he gets his timing back, Morrow, his arm has failed him numerous times throughout his career. And he hasn't pitched in over a year. So,
what's your bigger
if you're
need?
Giving me the choice.
What's your bigger need right
it's
now?
It's Morrow.
Really? You think a right-handed eighth inning guy is more important than a guy who plays every day? Then why isn't that guy getting paid more than your average leadoff hitter?
I don't know. I was thinking about it. They're pretty close. An elite relief pitcher.
I think those guys are getting paid.
Morrow's getting paid and being paid as a closer. He's not getting paid as a guy that's going to take the ball in the eighth before Kimbrel.
Yeah, but nevertheless, he's serving the same purpose. And a lot of the really good eighth inning guys, if they hit the market, your Andrew Millers, if they're okay to pitch the eighth, they get in between 10 and 14 million a year.
Okay, so now he's Andrew Miller. You didn't say.
If you're a closer, well, first of all, Andrew Miller, I'm thinking of Cleveland Andrew Miller. He's not that good anymore.
I'm thinking of Morrow with the Dodgers the year before the Cubs acquired him, where he was a lights out eighth inning guy.
Then I don't want to hear anybody complaining about not having a leadoff hitter anymore. Next.
Would you gentlemen, I presume this is because of a certain anniversary that we may hear a highlight from later today. Would you rather pitch a perfect game or be the winning pitcher in Game 7 of the World Series?
Oh, winning pitcher in Game 7 of the World Series. I want that ring. Uh-huh.
I don't know. Because if you pitch a perfect game, you have to get people stuff. Isn't that the thing? You got to buy your...
Is that what you're worried about? Yeah. Is getting people stuff?
Yeah, I don't want to spend any money.
I don't want to have to buy Dwayne Wise a watch.
I don't have to buy Dwayne Wise and AJ Przysik. It wasn't AJ, right? Was it AJ? I don't think it was AJ.
No, it wasn't. It was...
I'm thinking about titles. My man over here is thinking about expenses.
Well, I mean, listen, man. It's a rough economy out there.
Who got the win in Game 7 for the Cubs? Who was the winning pitcher in that game?
Was it Chapman?
Or was it Chapman?
Montgomery got the save.
It may have been indirectly Chapman.
Anyone come in after Chapman before Montgomery?
No, it was Carl Edwards in the 10th who started the inning. He got the first 2 outs. But the Cubs had already taken the lead. So wasn't the pitcher of record going back to the 9th as Chapman got through that? So, I mean, I'm saying that the point of what I'm asking is Chapman blew the save, but yet he got the win. Chapman got the win, but a lot of people looked at him as the GOAT.
But you were also on a World Series winning team.
Right. You get a ring.
You could be a perfect game thrower and never win a title.
Or you could be Mark Burley celebrating the anniversary of a perfect game and also celebrating being a World Series champion.
And having gotten a save in a World Series game as well.
But that wasn't part of the question.
I know. I'm just
throwing details at you.
You're getting frustrated. Yes,
you got all hot and bothered.
Come on, are we going to play in fantasy world?
Are you asking if we're going to be doing Would You Rather seriously?
Yeah, come on. It is a big fantasy world.
Man. Hey, can I also get $10 million on the side? I know that wasn't part of the question.
My son yesterday asked me a would you rather question. That was like my home life melding with my work marbles? Life. I'll think about it. I'll see if I can remember. It was an odd one.
You know what's odd is whenever Waddle says, you know what I'd rather have? I'd rather have a gold-plated toilet. That to me is one of the worst sayings in the American lingo.
It's from Austin Powers, isn't it? Where he says, I'd rather have a golden toilet to blank on. No, but,
It's an old school.
It's Austin Powers.
Yeah.
Plus, do you know how much, an ounce gold is? You could take that toilet and you could melt it down and you probably would have a pretty penny.
The belief behind it is I have so much money that I put gold on a toilet. Right. Like, there's obviously gold other places.
I would say then why would you ask for a gold-plated toilet? Wouldn't you just say I'd rather have gold, period?
Yeah, I could see that.
You're like heaven melted down.
Yeah, when I melt down that toilet.
Why would you want a gold-plated toilet?
I almost melted one down in the other room.
I'll interject this one from my home life. Yesterday, as I was walking my dog, my son asked me, would you rather have two broken arms or one broken leg?
One broken leg.
One broken leg.
Yeah.
Really?
Easy.
Wait, both arms broken?
Are broken at the same time.
Let's ask Jim.
Or a broken leg.
I'd rather just be at crutches and have use of my arms.
Let me tell you something.
How much of your arms are broken?
I don't know. It was out of nowhere.
Like your
wrist? You have to be in a cast.
How big is the cast? Is it like one of these? Is it like a Craig Kimbrell looking cast? Am I like this? Or is it just my wrist where it's just to like almost my elbow?
I had both of my shoulders fixed at the same time.
Oof.
And I was double slinged.
Like this?
Yeah. Now I could. My left one wasn't a serious injury. It was just a clean out. So I could actually use my arm for different things.
For that, and
for what taking care of, finalizing things after using the restroom.
Some fries? Mm.
Yeah, I mean, so I had some use for my arm.
That's what I'm saying.
But I think if you had two broken arms, I wouldn't want that.
Okay.
I'd take the broken leg.
Would you rather be known for flubbing the seventh inning stretch or throwing a terrible first pitch?
I think throwing a terrible first pitch, how terrible? I mean, like, there's video
like
of...
Like Baba Booey terrible
50
or
cent terrible.
50 Cent.
Or would you rather be known for...
Like what?
Cracker Jacks.
I'd prefer not to say, buy me some you-know-whats and Cracker Jacks. I'd prefer the other.
Throw me a wild pitch.
Yeah, I'd take a wild pitch.
All right. Mm-hmm. Would you gentlemen rather live in a tiny house or a bunker... But the caveat is there's better food inside that bunker.
I love the caveats.
Wait,
now.
So I have a bunker. What do you mean a bunker?
It's basically a basement where you can't leave. It's like a
war room?
Yeah, essentially.
Underground war room?
Is the bunker the same size as the tiny house?
Let's assume the bunker's a little bit smaller. I assume it's smaller.
Give me the tiny
more
house.
Confined. But, again, better food inside the bunker.
I'd rather SpaghettiOs in a real house than being confined to a bunker.
I will say this, though.
Have you seen those tiny house TV shows?
I hate those. I don't know what the draw is. I get it. They're cheaper, but I'd be claustrophobic.
Every time I'm sitting there watching it with my wife, I go, Whitney, I love you, but
I'm not living in a tiny house.
I can't be that close to you all the time.
There's things that
I need to do that I can't be that close to you.
Isn't the fun of those house shows to dream and fantasize about these big mansions? And they're doing the opposite. Yes. They're showing you this 450. Here's the bed and here's the kitchen and there's the bathroom. Okay, that's my house. What's the
You know what it is? The bed and the kitchen are right next to each other, so they call it the bitchin'.
I don't know if we can...
What are you talking about?
Yeah, we can sing.
Yeah, we can definitely
sing.
Listen,
if Matt Nagy can sing what he wants to sing, we can sing.
Come on. Guys, up to this point, I don't know why I said up to this point. I'm just going to say that. Would you rather have Trubisky have the career of Joe Flacco or Philip Rivers?
Philip Rivers.
Right, Joe Flacco's got a Super Bowl. Philip Rivers got none.
That's because Philip Rivers never had that dominant defense
I'm just telling you, facts are facts. One has a Super Bowl that we can have a parade down State Street or wherever they're going to have it.
But the only thing I can control...
And one of them has none.
With your scenario, the only thing I can control is the quarterback. I'd rather have the better quarterback.
Right, if I'm set up with this defense and you're telling me Trubisky is Phillip Rivers. I'm good.
I'll take my Flacco. It says the career of Flacco or Rivers. It doesn't say the numbers. It says the career. If you look at their careers, one has a ring.
All right, well, I'd rather have a quarterback with a Super Bowl ring than without one.
There you go. I'd rather have the quarterback that, as Waddle says, went on the heater of all heaters, right?
I'd still rather Phillip Rivers, though, over Joe Flacco.
Well, yeah, of course you would. But ultimately, you want the ring, right?
Well, then all that question amounts to is, would you rather be a quarterback with a ring or without a ring?
Well, would you have?
Sort of stupid.
What would you rather have?
The ring.
Well, you never know. Some people like Phillip Rivers more.
All right, gentlemen, your life is on the line. Uh-oh. Would you rather have a blindfolded Robbie Gould take a 30-yard field goal and need to make it, or Cody Parkey line up for a 42-yard field goal?
Not blindfolded?
I assume not blindfolded.
Robbie could do this blind. I saw Robbie again today, by the way.
But your life is on the line.
Yeah, I mean, do you know that he's going to attack?
I'm with you. It feels like...
I think they know their steps well enough.
Okay, so that's my question. When does the blindfold go on? Does he get to line up and see it, and then the blindfold goes on, and then
pre-snap.
He does his steps?
Pre-snap.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know. Pre-snap.
See, he doesn't even... Can he even kick the ball with it being blindfolded?
I don't know.
No, I don't...
You know what I mean?
That's a good one, too.
He'll DM you.
I think I'm going to go with the guy with, as bad as he is... I'm going to go with the guy
you're
that can
go
actually
with
see.
Double doink for the win.
I mean, listen, is Robbie going to be able to take his steps and
set himself up? Yes, that's what I think.
I think he can take the steps.
Yes.
He can take he can take the steps and he can follow through.
And then you blindfold
but
him.
But the problem is, can he connect with the ball without seeing it?
Yeah,
I don't know.
That's
a good question.
Hmm. Would you rather? Always makes you think.
I think I'm going to go with it. I mean... With no disrespect meant to Robbie, I'm going to go with the guy who's not blindfolded. It's my life.
Yeah.
It's Cody Parkey, though.
I know.
And then you're dead, and he's on one of the morning shows talking about killing
Waddle. Asking for forgiveness.
And he's called the most valuable bear, and you're dead.
He's telling you how he made the first three.
I mean, he knew
the first
I was going to be blindfolded.
30-yarders.
I feel like I didn't get credit for any of the ones I could see.
Good round today. I've also pulled the question.
I think that's our winner, then. The Ben Zobrist, Brandon Morrow one, right?
The Zobrist-Morrow one. And I bet you that Cubs fans will go with you. Because Zobrist is the more popular Cub.
I wasn't even going with popular.
No, I know
just
you
thought,
weren't.
I thought there was a greater need for a guy to be a true leadoff hitter.
Yeah, that's why it's a good question. Because I think there's good arguments on both sides. 3-3-2-3-7-7-6. Will we relive the Mark Burley anniversary today?
Yes,
coming
we will.
Up next, let's do that. It was one of the great performances in Chicago sports history. Not by one, but two people in that ninth inning. We'll play that for you coming up next.
Guys, summer's finally here, and it's in full force. And you know what that means. It's time once again for another Waddle special from our good friends Joe and Tony at Distinctive Gold Jewelry. In Frankfort, this month, they are featuring beautiful carat, a quarter lab-grown diamond tennis bracelets. Perfect gift for your wife, your girlfriend, your daughter, your mom, a relative, a coworker, anyone that you just want to give that perfect summer gift to. As I told you, I gave one to my daughter recently, and she was thrilled. If you feel like money might be tight this month, don't worry. Joe and Tony have a solution. They are continuing this month with their no-down payment, 12 months interest-free plan upon approval. That's Distinctive Gold Jewelry in Frankfort. They are, as you know by now, my favorite jewelry store and, of course, the only one that I will endorse. Visit them at distinctivegoldjewelry.com and ask about this month's Waddle special featuring the beautiful tennis bracelets. The perfect gift for summer. That's Distinctive Gold Jewelry, where Chicago buys their diamonds.
All right, we'll relive the one of the great performances in Chicago sports history coming up next. It happened 10 years ago today. Right about now, too, right? Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
This is Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
That ball hit deep into left center field. Wise back.
Makes the catch!
What a play!
Wayne Wise makes the catch! What a play by Wise! Mercy! Alexei! Unbelievable play by Dwayne Wise.
Oh, happy
anniversary. Happy anniversary. Happy anniversary. Happy anniversary.
Maybe the greatest play ever in a perfect game, right? I mean, it's got to be up there. And to save the game the way Dwayne Wise did, Greg Hawk Harrelson with a call of Mark Burley's perfect game 10 years ago, sometime maybe a little earlier in the afternoon, because Burley would deal, was probably, what, a 105 game on the south side?
And it was a 107 start time.
107 start time. Burley probably needed like two hours and 30 minutes.
Whoa, you're way heavy. Game duration of 2:03.
2:03. So the exact time of...
would be 3:30. No. 3:10. Would have wrapped up at 3:10.
Wow.
It's a fast game.
So a couple of trivia questions about the perfect game, guys. See how well you know. Mark Burley, when he threw the perfect game, how many perfect games do you believe were thrown in Major League Baseball history at that point? Burley had the blank perfect game in Major League history.
I'll guess 27th.
Abdallah Waddle?
33rd.
17th.
He was the 18th perfect game in Major League Baseball history. I will tell you this. Since then, according to USA Today, 5 starting pitchers have accomplished the feat. Can you guys name any of them? There's a former White Sox.
Yes.
What's in the that guy?
Philip Umber.
Yes.
In Seattle.
Good job. Remember watching that. So that's one of the 5. There's another guy who is a stud starting pitcher in there.
Did Scherzer do it?
Scherzer did not, no.
I think Roy Halladay's came after, right?
Roy Halladay was just put in the Hall of Fame, was there. So he threw one for the Phillies. This man was king, not only for the day, but when he threw
king
the perfect...
Felix?
Yes, Felix Hernandez. This guy is an analyst right now, and he caught heater.
Steve Stone!
He caught a heater when he threw the perfect game.
This guy is an analyst.
Funny analyst. He's got weird sort of hair. I don't know if
Al Hrabowski.
This is since Mark Burley.
Funny hair.
Oh, Dallas Braden.
Yes, very good. We could go on the $25,000 pyramid. Yes. And then the other name.
Give me another. Oh, don't give it to me. Give me a hint.
All right. This guy really flashed.
Dallas Braden actually threw a perfect game.
This guy flashed with the Giants, and then I think he sort of then
faded away.
Was
he a big right hander? Matt Cain.
Yeah!
Shoulder trouble.
Good night, everybody.
It's not getting any better for Waddle from now on out. From here on out.
Yeah. So Braden, Halladay, Umber, Kane, and Hernandez.
Isn't it amazing how my brain works? Like, I can't tell you what I had for lunch yesterday.
You're awesome with this stuff.
No clue.
Look at Waddle.
Kane.
It's one of the great regular season moments in any sport in Chicago sports history. The way that perfect game was saved and for him to do it. And again, you know why he's a fan favorite. He was awesome, and he won a World Series, and he moved quickly. It is saving the World Series.
He's probably out in the woods hunting right now,
yeah,
isn't he?
Right. He was an average guy. He had a no-hitter and a perfect game.
See,
Mark Burley. No, I don't think so. 332-3776. Someone's on the line who was at the game. We'll take their call. Also want to talk some Bears with you. Roquan's going to be with us tomorrow. And the Cubs roster issues. Jeff Passan at 5:30 as well. It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.